Today's topic is improving relationships using Buddhist principles. Why did the relationships turn sour? Where did it go wrong? If I can remember it correctly. It's very romantic, isn't it, when two people come together, you know, laugh and, you know, affection and all sort of dreams come true, being to be together, all these longing for throughout the years. Now we are together, like those fairy tale stories, you know, hand in hand they walk into the sunset, forever happy. Very romantic relationships. But in reality, what is relationship? Physically, two people coming together. Apart from that romantic gesture of, I love you, you love me, and we'll be happy forever together. That lasts for quite a while, but it wouldn't last that long. After that initial honeymoon or infatuated period is over, you start living each other physically. Physically as in your space, the other party's space, and the snorings, and the interactions that you have to interact whenever you are with them. Sometimes whole day in the weekend, sometimes whole morning, whole evening until you go to bed. So there's friction there because different people have different needs. No matter how close you are, there are different needs and different way of doing things, different minds. So after the initial period of love and romance is over, it become nitty-gritty things of trying to adjust to each other, trying to give leeway to each other, trying to understand each other. That's a natural process that should be, to understand each other, to give respect to each other, to find out what each other like is. But in reality, it is not so. In reality, what happens is the self comes in, self-interest comes in, and from that conflict also develop. Conflict as in what I want and what you want, what I expect from you and what you are not giving me. So self become very important, and this is a normal conventional relationships that we have. Everyone has them. It's no difference. No matter, you know, even if, you know, we have a Romeo and Juliet, isn't it? When they live together for a long time, you know, there's no more of those romantic phrases and words anymore. They also start, you know, having problems like anyone else. So, where does all these things come from? Is your partner that bad? Or are you that bad? The relationship's turning sour. It comes from the mind. Like Buddha said, mind is the forerunner. I always say this, Buddhist words, mano bubangama dhamma mano sita mano maya. That means mind is the forerunner. Everything starts from the mind. That Buddhist exact words. So, the disappointments and all these unsatisfactoriness, anger, emotions coming from this not understanding the true nature of who we are, of the needs we have, of the needs of others. So when we sit in the box of it's me, it's us, then it automatically divides ourselves with others, their boundaries and our boundaries, and the lack of tolerance and forgiveness if we have this attitude. And that attitude builds, you know, accumulates and it builds and builds and builds. And it become a huge thing later on, and you can't untangle it anymore. It become a ball of a tangled strings. You don't know where to start to untangle it. It become like that. It started from a little tangling things, and it started there, and then to a stage where it cannot be done anymore. So this mind, as we meditate, because we only have to go back to our experience, we cannot go to other people's experience because we don't really know their experience. In our experience, when we meditate, the mind that we want, the mind to concentrate on our breathing. And that's the reason we all come here, to concentrate this mind, to meditate. Meditate means to concentrate the mind. That's a primary purpose. We are coming here, and here we are, we're sitting down, and we were, concentrating on the sensation of the breath going in and out. And then, what does the mind do? The mind goes into the thoughts. Do you really want that to happen? Your mind going into those thoughts? Nobody wants it, because what people want, what we want is for this mind to concentrate on this breath alone. Not those thoughts, not those wandering and, galloping here and there. The mind that is racing very fast. We don't want that mind. We want this mind to concentrate on this breath. If you have your car, if you parked it in the car park now, when the meditation finish, you go and look, it'll still be there. And when you open the door and switch on the ignition, the engine will start. No matter what you want to do, the car will do it. You drive home, it will go home. The car will take you home. If you drive into a tree, it will go into a tree. No matter what you do, the car will obey you. Because you, conventionally, you own it. It's your car. So whatever you want to do, it's under your control. It will do whatever you want. That we say, I own this car. I control this car. So come back to the mind again. Do we really control our mind? Do we really own our mind? So if you say you own your mind, then you can tell your mind it's just there, breathing in, breathing out. Don't go anywhere. Oh, the mind will be there. Won't go anywhere. That's your mind. You control it. You own it. But if it is not, then the mind is impersonal. Impersonal mind that is on its own schedules and then, wayward things, it just do things like that. No matter what you want to do, when you forgot, waiting for you to forget, to slack down a little bit, and then it goes into the thoughts. And only when you exert your effort, awareness, then aware of it, that the mind is going, and then it comes back unwillingly. And then what happens sometimes, we don't want to come back. We just want to think about it. There's a friend of mine. He's passed away many years ago now. He said when he's meditating, he can plan a whole plan of how to build a cabinet. Instead of the mind concentrating. And he likes to do that because he can't let go of it. He wants to think how to build that cabinet in details. Little bit cut here, little bit cut there, that length, that'll look beautiful. So he's attached to it, clinging to it. He can't let go of it, that thought process. He likes it, so he's just going it. So, led by the desire, led by the desire, blinded by the ignorance, that's what Buddha said. The desire to think, to plan that whole thing. And then he went after it. Blinded, that he got to concentrate, meditate. This desire and the cravings and that, he can't let go of it. He just go, even in a very subtle form, he can't let go of it. So, why does that mind act that way? It's a natural process. What the mind has seen before, heard before, done before, imprinted in it, in the memories, it is now, due to those causes and conditions, the mind is chewing back from this memory bouts. That's what the mind is doing. And we thought we are doing it. only now when we meditate, try to concentrate the mind, separate it from these thoughts, and concentrate on the breath, we realize that it is impersonal. Regardless of our desires and wishes, it is going here, it is going there. Hard to control. So there it is. That's where the problem lies. And our partners there, we go home. We want them, to have, dinners ready, or, you ask your husband to fix the things on the house, or as soon as you come home, it's not done and boom, it hits. I told him, I told her, Sometimes even before you get up from the bed, you hear something and then your mind is start racing, anger rising up. Why are these things happening? It's a mind. That impersonal nature of the mind reacting naturally to things like that, that is happening. Whoever it is, somebody come and say nice thing, you'll be happy to hear it. Somebody come and say really nasty words, rude words, you'll be so unhappy and angry. It's not only me, anyone, if the mind is not trained, that'll be the natural reaction of the mind. So now in Buddhism, that's what we're doing, is to see this clearly, with clarity, as it is, how the mind behaves. And the ability to see this with clarity of mind, concentrated mind, the mind that has strength to see it, not to follow it and then, like that man designing the cabinet, can't let go of it. We just get into it, flow with that mind. We don't do that, we stop. Awareness comes in, our good friend, best friend. Awareness tap on the shoulder and said, that's a natural process of the mind. Don't go along with it. Use wisdom. Then you stop and you think about it, you contemplate it, and then whatever emotions that arises, you know that's a natural reaction of the mind, impersonal. You can almost say all these ill will, aversion and anger and hatred, you can almost say, that's not me. That's a natural process of the mind, nothing to do with me. You can wash your hands free like that. Why? What is your natural state of the mind? When we meditate, that little moment, maybe less than a second maybe, or maybe longer, you were able to concentrate. Your mind is not going anywhere, just there. Nothing. And that moment got nothing in it. No anger, no hatred, no delusion, no happiness, no elation, nothing in that moment. Just as it is, nothing there. Only peacefulness and calmness. Pure mind. That's the original state of the mind. Whoever it is, that mind is there. Just that it's not trained, it's not seen. It's hidden somewhere. Like a hidden pearl. Hitler got it, Pol Pot got it, Mother Teresa got it, Nelson Mandela got it, Mugabe got it, but it's there, it's forgotten. So, that the original states of the mind, originally nobody is bad. Only this impersonal nature of the mind, like a magician, pull us along. Led by the desire, blinded by the ignorance, we dance along with it. We go along with it, happily, we're blind. And we do things, say things when we're angry, or we put everything into it verbally, physically, we say words that is so sharp, we do things that is so hurtful. We participate gusto, really, in it when things are happening like that. Not realizing that is the mind process, natural process. We have forgotten, and then we just go everything, the whole, head and toes into it, And then we are there. We can't get out of it anymore. So that's where meditation comes in, to see these things as it is happening, and the ability to control it, which comes only from the practice, to be able to endure these things that are not comfortable, things are not are to our likings, to be able to endure, isn't it? When you sit meditation, you sit very still, you don't move at all. And the body said, come on, twitch that, you know, scratch that, you know, move a little bit. The body is saying, and you're going along with it, yeah, you know, this one a bit uncomfortable, yeah, okay, like that. And you are sitting still, training your mind. Whatever the body is saying, you say no, you know, you just concentrate. The more pain there is when you cross-legged sitting cross-legged, then after about 40 minutes, the pain starts. About an hour, the pain is really strong. And after, you know, say about an hour and a half, it goes away. Because you concentrate deep. The more pain there is, the more deeply you concentrate on your breath. And you overcome it, you know, you can endure it. So it's a training of the mind to be able to endure it. So when things are going bad, emotionally, you know, arising, then that moment, with wisdom, you can endure it. With training, you can overcome it. So it doesn't mean that we're not affected. It will be. But with the training, you can wash it off, brush it off easily. Otherwise, we can't brush it off. We got pulled in, you know, everything. And then we just started acting again, arms up and tears coming down and, you know, what's, you know, flying around and also physical objects flying around and, you know, thing happens like that. So, you know, this is coming from wisdom part to see why the relationships are turning sour, because we can't see this natural process of the mind. We can't see this magician conning us and we just go along with it. Like when we were young, we see this a very pretty, beautiful lady. The magician is cutting in half with a big saw, like the one they use in those days, you know, those big saws two people pull. We go, oh, no, 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 don't, you know, she will be killed, she'll be cut in half. Isn't it? We scream, we yell when we were young, believing that the magician is going to really cut the lady in half. Now we've grown up, we know it's magic, you know. Still maybe a little bit affected, a bit worried, but we know that she'll be okay afterwards. She'll walk up and, you know, with the smiles and the waves and things like that. We don't worry that much anymore. So that's how it is. The natural process of the mind, the magician, is conning us and making us to believe that is so. And when we believe it, it is so. We suffer. Pain, suffering and sorrow follows from that. We say words to our partners that is so sharp and so hurting, and which we actually don't mean it. Afterwards, we regretted it. Then that, you know, hurt that you have thrown at our partner has had a lot of effect on it. And they suffer a lot. And we don't feel happy either because, well, I'll give him or her this, you know, good stuff, you know. Take it, you know. And then you think you'll be happy afterwards. No, you don't. You're afraid that you might lose him or her. You're afraid that, oh, the relationship has now become weaker because what I've done, what I've said, what they have done, what they have said. It's not only us. It's like everyone around us, you know, believing this magician and going around, you know, mad, running around like that. So are we. Everyone's in that situation. Who's going to help who? That's why the tangle just starting coming in. And no one is the wiser for it. Everyone is me, you know. My mind, my anger, my emotions, my feelings. And we are going here also. It's my emotions, my angers, my needs, my expectations. Why do I marry you? Why do you marry me? All these self-interest coming in. Not knowing that that's a natural process of the mind. Impersonal nature of the mind, we cannot say, this is my mind. Because you don't control it. It's not your car, it's not your pen. You know, you can't control your mind. And you're saying, this is my mind. That is the most foolish thing we can say if we don't understand. Under the conventional reality, yes, you can say that. But with wisdom, ultimate, you know, wisdom, reality, when you understand this, it's not a wise thing to say, this is my mind. My mind is unhappy. When you say, my mind is unhappy, my mind is angry, mean, I have forgotten that my mind is impersonal. That's what you're saying. So if you see this wisdom, we don't have to go nitty-gritty thing, you know, that time you said, you know, that word, you know, you say I'm this, I'm that, that's not true. Trying to prove that for nearly 30 years now, isn't it? Still sitting on this one. Or 20 years, 10 years, whatever your relationship lasts, isn't it? You know, I want to go and find a new one. Well, the new problem's waiting there in the different form, the same problem, but in a different form, different person. You don't want to escape. So, the thing is to see this as a natural process of the mind. You've got to investigate this. Just because I said you cannot accept it, that's not the way to go. You've got to ask questions, you've got to investigate. Is it right? Is it wrong? When you get angry, just watch that anger. Don't say, I shouldn't be angry. I'm really hopeless to be angry. I'm very low to be angry, to do these things. Don't say anything. No judgmental. Nobody is good or bad. Only that they don't watch the mind. So with awareness, you watch your mind. You know, what is your mind feeling? Anger. Oh, anger is like this. Oh, hatred. Hatred is like this. Concentrate on your heart area. Oh, that tension, that pain. When you get anger, it is like that. Your face is becoming this and that. And whatever feeling, heartbrokenness, sadness, sorrow, it is like this. As it is, bare awareness, you watch it. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be sophisticated. You don't have to be able to express with words. Just as it is, watch it, whatever it is, whatever you understand. That's the experience. And by doing so, like when you watch the mind stops by itself. When you watch these feelings and emotions coming up, they calm down, they stop by itself. Why? Because it's the impermanent nature of things, because it cannot sustain itself. It only sustains it if we participate into it. Like a stream of water flowing, I say, there's the water. As soon as I point it out, that water is gone. Same thing. This is only real and effective when we participate into it. So when things gone bad, when your partner is not doing what you expect to do, tolerance, patience, and putting right effort from our side. Everyone is running around mad. There got to be somebody who is really seeing things as it is, the truth. Then we practice it. Give kindness, generosity, with endurance. Watch your anger, watch your feelings, let it go. Don't prolong it. And start saying different words instead of saying, you this and that. Saying, oh well, everyone make mistakes, don't we? I can forgive you. I'll give you a hug. I'll make you a cup of coffee. I'll bake you a chocolate cake. That's how it all starts, little things that accumulates and become a beautiful flower. So I offer this to you today. Hope you can use it in your life daily. Thank you. If you need to talk to me, you can